Hello, welcome to the Teaching Towards a Humanizing Pedagogy podcast. My name is Martha St. Jean. I'm here with fellow Teacher College graduate students, Sylvia Moon, Rebecca Fiddle, and Laura Shelby. We have spent the semester examining teaching materials through the lens of culture, class, and gender. How do practices and policies affect our pedagogy and thereby influence classroom practices? Today we will be discussing a popular philosophy known as humanizing pedagogy to ground our discussion of teaching and learning. Rebecca, you facilitated our discussion of the article. Would you mind telling the audience how the research of Maria del Carmen Salazar in A Humanizing Pedagogy, Reinventing the Principles and Practice of Education as a Journey Toward Liberation, has impacted your work as an educator?
Thank you, Martha. First of all, I want to mention that this is not a term that we have coined. Many of the scholars who have called for this approach, the humanizing pedagogical approach, have been inspired by the work of Paulo Freire. Lilia Bartolomé and Maria del Carmen Salazar are the two scholars that have been particularly informative to how we are thinking about the reasons for, as well as the contours of, a humanizing pedagogy. Del Carmen Salazar has come up with 10 principles, four of which we'd like to discuss in this podcast. Laura, would you like to start us off?
Sure. So the principle that I'm going to be focusing on today may seem obvious to all of us now after months in this residency program. And that principle is that the content needs to be meaningful and relevant to our students' lives. I think that this is something that we all strive towards and something that we've achieved in our unit plans that we created as an iTag. And that as educators, we are trying to bridge our own reality and our own worlds with that of our students in a powerful way that will engage them with the material. Since this is something that I personally haven't always seen in practice or experienced as a student myself, we really discussed in great length during our various article facilitations simple ways in which to make this a reality. For example, I think asking for student input. I think that oftentimes we don't listen enough to our students. And why assume that certain content or materials are going to be meaningful and relevant to their lives when we can just simply ask them? We could spend all day suggesting topics that reflect the diversity of their lives, but if we aren't receptive to real-life student input, why are we even trying to make this connection? I think that also accepting what they bring to the classroom. Personally, as an ENL teacher, I think that means the basic acceptance of their native language or code switching if they choose to do that in a class discussion. It's one way that we can foster student comprehension and engagement. Also, one thing that I want to speak about specifically is some research about meaningful and relevant content that really frustrated me that we came across during this past semester. This research showed that teachers of affluent students are more likely than teachers of working class students to incorporate student life knowledge and experiences into curriculum. And this was the result of the teachers of the affluent students viewing them as having the cultural capital to do so, whereas the teachers of working class students saw their students as having this deficiency in cultural capital, and therefore they could not make the lessons meaningful or based on their knowledge or their experiences because they were viewed as simply not having it. And I think that the access to innovative and creative lessons that reflect one's own knowledge and experiences is something that all students deserve to have, regardless of who they are or where they come from. And I think that as educators, this is something that we all need to ensure happens when we enter our own classrooms next year.
So echoing off from what Laura said, something else that seems obvious yet often overlooked is that students' prior knowledge is linked to new learning. Teachers who are preparing for instruction put tremendous effort and focus on the content that they will teach. And so often, less planning and instructional time is actually dedicated to accessing students' pre-existing knowledge. And obviously, when it comes to English learners and students from diverse cultural and educational backgrounds, the type and amount of background knowledge that they have can vary. So, for example, there's students who may have a lot of academic schooling in their native language when they arrive in a classroom but not have the words to express what they know in English. There's other students who may have had interrupted formal schooling, or perhaps their background knowledge may not match the perspective presented in the classroom. And of course, this doesn't dismiss or overlook the fact that they are filled with knowledge and experiences and skills. And so there's this discussion about how culturally relevant teaching differs from good teaching. This term, culturally relevant teaching, is a term created by Gloria Latin Billings, who essentially says that culturally relevant teaching is a pedagogy that empowers students intellectually, socially, emotionally, and politically by using cultural denotations to impart knowledge and skills and attitude. So, in essence, culturally relevant teaching includes all that is considered good teaching, but additionally takes the student's cultural background and experiences into consideration, and overall affirming his or her cultural identity. Therefore, the question that I constantly have is, what are the strategies that teachers can use to engage students' cultural knowledge?
Sylvia, I definitely want to connect to the ideas you brought up. I think it's crucial to speak about culturally relevant pedagogy and the interpersonal connection learners have to a text. For example, I love Shakespeare. I love the book Anna Karenina. I like reading about communication theory. These are all different types of texts that I've been exposed to. The question becomes, how do I see myself as a Haitian American and a woman in the text? I want to connect it to the idea of having a critical consciousness. As a teacher, I think I must be aware of who my students are, what their cultural capital is, and what their community is about. And I've really appreciated our conversations on culture, class, and gender, and the intersectionality of those aspects of our identities. It's also important to speak about race and religion and not negate our students' continuous experiences. Something I really appreciated studying was John Dewey and what he wrote about continuous experiences in 1939, because it still matters today. As an educator, I too wonder, how does what we experience add to the rich process of learning? And every day, I go into the classroom and say, what can I do today that is best for my students? I think this relates to Maria del Carmen Salazar's idea or principle that the reality of the learner is crucial. My reality as a Haitian American, my reality as a woman, my reality of growing up in Brooklyn, New York, is crucial to my understanding of whatever is happening in the classroom. Now, I'm not saying that all texts will be culturally relevant, but I think as good educators, as people striving towards excellence in the classroom, we must try to choose text. And by text, I mean things as diverse as literature, visuals, animations, videos that serve a practical purpose. We shouldn't be so idealistic as to think that all of our texts will be culturally relevant or that we will always meet every single need. But it means that we will try our best and we will continue to have high expectations of ourselves like we do for our students. And I'd like to just take this time to really acknowledge this group and the inquiry process we have undertaken. I know that part of my growth as an educator can be attributed to working with three distinct women whom I would have never met outside of this collaborative environment. And because of this collaborative environment, we've all determined how we can approach creating curriculum. I now have a better understanding of what it means to be an educator because of working with people as diverse as this group has been. And I want to say thank you for being open, being respectful, for wondering, for asking questions, for really taking part in this inquiry process.